Salt and light. It is the fundamental call of every baptized Christian to bring light to the darkness, to bring seasoning, to bring flavor to life. But we live in a very different world now. We all know fellow Christians and or Catholics who say, well, I'm spiritual, but not religious. I believe in Jesus, but I do not keep any of his commandments. I'm Catholic, I just never go to Mass. I follow Jesus as Lord of my life, but I break the sixth and ninth commandment on a regular basis. In fact, the person I'm with, having marital relations, is not my spouse, but I believe in Jesus. This separation, this contradiction, this compartmentalization of faith is the majority of reality among Christians today. And then that's not even to speak about the fringe extreme elements, right? Catholics for choice, Catholics supporting abortion, or white Catholic nationalists that are as racist as they come, and anti-immigrant and anti-poor, as you can imagine, and they have the title Christian or Catholic. And that's becoming more and more mainstream, the extreme ends of the spectrum of this absolute contradiction and hypocrisy. And there's a reason why people are developing this hatred toward what they perceive as Christianity or Catholicism. Because when you present it like that, I would be an atheist. If that's Catholicism, sign me up for Atheism 101. And so we give this very scandalous reality, not the least of which to mention are clergy and the horrific crimes that have come to light committed by some of us in the media. And those hidden still, it creates a sense of hatred toward the faith that's not rooted in racism or ignorance, but of scandal. And it's our fault. No one else's. We have to claim responsibility. And what the scriptures call us to today is a radically, totally opposite, different understanding of living out the faith. In the early Christian church, the Romans, even though it was punishable by death to be a Christian, knew who were Christian. Why? Because when Romans gave birth to a girl or a child with illness, they literally threw the living baby in garbage piles. And Christians would go at night, hear the cries of the babies, gather the children, raise them, baptize them, and care for them as their own. And they knew they were Christian. They knew they were Christian because they would be hated, mistreated, they'd experience racism, and they'd respond to the person in the middle of the town, in the public squares of Rome, with a blessing, thanking them, assuring them that they are loved. They knew they were Christian when being tempted to offer simply incense in the cauldron before the gods of Rome, they preferred being lit a fire alive and tortured and killed to simply putting a few rocks of incense on some coals in front of a Roman god. They knew they were Christian because they would say, see how they love one another, rich and poor, Greek and Jew, former pagan, former Jewish zealot, and they embrace each other, and they sit together, and they have these love feast meals together, the Eucharist. See how they love one another. The Romans were so profoundly impacted by the way of living of Christians, so radically different than the culture and the time, that many were converted by their witness alone. And the church exploded with faithful because of the witness of the few. It feels like today we're in an extreme opposite reality. Our lives are no different than the people in the world. The vast majority of couples I've prepared for marriage are not married, but they're already living together. They already have kids, the same as anyone else who's not Catholic. So many of us, our lives look just like anyone else. We eat too much, we drink too much, we speak the same way they do, we treat our enemies the way they treat their enemies. We have racial tendencies and biases. We lack charity. We have no compassion for the poor, the immigrant, the sick, the suffering, the imprisoned. We become politicized, and Christ has been pushed off to the corner. Light and salt. This is a call that is radically different, the call for conversion and renewal that begins with having a genuine, intimate, heartfelt relationship with Jesus. We're not just going through the motions anymore. We're not warming a pew on Sundays. We're not coming once a week and doing nothing else. We realize that everything we've done in the world in terms of your sin and mine reminds us continuously that it's never enough, because he is not God and she is not God and my kids are not God and my things are not God, and I am made for God and God alone, and nothing else will satisfy. And until we hit rock bottom, until we recognize that nothing in this world satisfies and we can turn to him on bended knee, then and only then, in that encounter of conversion, can we experience what it means to be loved, to be called to greatness, to be transformed by him who alone can raise the dead and be made a new creation. That's meant to happen through the sacraments, but in a culturally Catholic environment, as it is among Hispanics today, not in our American society anymore, we go through the motions because we're supposed to, but our hearts may oftentimes be far from it. Salt and light. What the scriptures call us to today is to go back to our roots, to who we are and who we were. People that came into a culture that was anti-life and lived in a radically heroic way, a love and dignity for life from conception to natural death and everything in between. We'd stand out, a people who are generous to those who don't deserve it, a people who are gracious to those who are ungracious to us, a people who are moderate in their drink, moderate in their eat, loving in their treatment of others, keeping faithfully the sixth and ninth commandment, waiting till marriage, living lives of generosity with the number of their children, though being responsible, generosity to supporting their church financially, heroically generous in helping the migrant, the immigrant, the poor, the homeless, the widow, the orphan. Just as scripture says, a people living the embodiment of God's teachings. What does it mean to be light? What does it mean to be salt? The scriptures say it explicitly today. Share your bread with the hungry. Shelter the oppressed and the homeless. Clothe the naked. Don't turn your back on your own. Then your light shall bring forth like the dawn, and your wounds shall quickly be healed. Put aside oppression, false accusation, malicious speech. Bestow your bread on the hungry and satisfy the afflicted. Then your light shall rise for you in the darkness. Deeds of justice, not charity. When I give my money, which is more than enough that I need, to someone who is hungry, that's not charity. That's justice. They have a right to eat. They're a human being. They have a right to have a shelter. They have a right to health care. They have a right to migrate to a place that is safe for them, where they can provide for their basic necessities, while at the same time we have a right to secure our borders. But the error will always be on the side of charity, generosity, and compassion in one of the most wealthiest, powerful countries in the world. I've heard that song before. I've heard it sung at soccer games. This land is your land. This land is my land. From California to the New York Islands. It's not a political statement. It's simply true. In fact, it was the Native American people's lands until Europeans came over. But it should be a land with its richness and wealth and prosperity and potential and opportunity that welcomes everyone generously but responsibly. Our nation needs to transform from its very core. And that cannot happen unless it begins with you. You are the ones who vote. You are the ones who own companies, who work at companies, who live in your neighborhoods, who go to your schools. And if our lives are no different than their own, no wonder our churches are empty. What's the point? You have a belief in Jesus. I have a belief in whatever, just different gods, the same path to whatever. It's all a lie. It's not true, but it makes sense when our lives are no different than their own. So what does it mean to be salt? What does it mean to be light? When your dad comes home from work exhausted, get up from your seat watching TV or whatever you're doing, give him a hug, thank him, kiss him. When you're about to sit down to eat, put aside your cell phones and talk to one another. When mom is cleaning up after dinner, get up and help her do the dishes, clean off the table, sweep the floor. When your dad comes home from work, help him with the chores around the house that maybe he needs to do. Go out of your way to serve those who love you and those around you. Call your grandparents. Talk to your aunts and uncles. Don't ignore them for years and only thank them when they send you a gift or a card for your birthday. Look around you and your peers that are sitting alone, that are depressed or that are being bullied, and sit with them, talk to them, listen to them. When you're at work and others are cheating on their hours and doing the bare minimum possible to get paid the most amount of money, work your hardest for the glory of God. And when they hate you for making them look bad, you remind them, I'm not doing this for the pay. I'm doing this for my salvation. Get out of my way. When we live in a way that is faithful to God's commands, waiting until marriage, for that sacred act that God commanded and created when he told Adam and Eve to be fruitful and multiply, then the world sees there's something different about these people. They don't give in to whatever they feel and whatever they want. They don't do whatever comes to their mind. They love their freedom, their autonomy. They're sober, literally and figuratively. They're self-controlled. They show self-mastery. And it's always for the purpose of helping the poor, the immigrant, the orphan, the widow, those most vulnerable among us. They become strong for the sake of others who are weak, just as Christ did for us, who, though being in the form of God, did not grasp or cling to being God, but humbled himself to become like us in all things but sin. God became man so that we might become like God. And the sacraments are meant to give us the strength and the grace to realize that through communion and frequent confession. Everything is at our feet. Everything has been given to us by God. And now it is up to you to go out into the world and to be a witness. Light is useful because in darkness no one can see. Salt is useful because who enjoys bland food? Our world needs salt. Our world needs light. And it must be you who are in the world who see that and make that a reality. So maybe you serve at Mass. Maybe you offer here to be an usher, a Eucharistic minister, a lector. Maybe you help with our food bank. We're always needing people to help put together our go bags for the unhoused so they can come here every Tuesday and Friday and know there's a meal waiting for them and a bottle of water to drink. But we're always looking for more people to help us put that together and make it available, to help me in my truck go to a food bank of the Rockies and bring back thousands of pounds of food and water at great discount. And to put that together so it's available for those who need it. We're always looking for people to help clean the church and vacuum. We're always looking for people to help fix things around our property. We're always looking in an even greater expanded role to have groups of people who walk the streets and meet our homeless, know them by name, find out how we can care for them, go down to Samaritan House and offer to volunteer. The opportunities are limitless, but the reality is we're limited because of our hearts. And so the heart of Christ reaches out to us once again today, not to condemn, but to challenge us in love by leading the way through his own example. Unless a grain of wheat dies, it bears no fruit. But if we die to ourselves, it bears 60, 100-fold. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. And when he does, how will he find you and I living? Salt and light, nothing less, because you are a Christian.